Grave Tone.
Welcome to Grave Tone Podcast, where horror comes to life in every form it takes. I'm Megan.
I'm Arthur.
Did you want to do the intro? Is that why you like leaned forward?
No.
Okay. Don't think you do. He's really tired. We both are, if I'm honest.
Oh, it's rough.
Like, are we exhausted? Yes. Are we having fun? Also, yes.
I know. One of those dualities that you're just like, let's go again.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, we're going. And then we leave the theater and we're like, fucking right, we just saw that movie. It was great. So that's where we're existing right now.
Yeah.
So, hey, guess what? There's more Fantasia stuff to cover.
Hey, that's fine. People don't necessarily listen in a row. They don't know.
No, that's true. Yeah. And maybe, hey, who knows? Maybe you're listening to this way down the line when these films have officially been released.
I hope so.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That'd be great.
Yeah. So this is another, we've done one of these already before. This is another double feature episode of movies that Megan saw that Arthur did not because he was not able to. So I'm going to take us through spoiler-free little synopses and some overarching thoughts that I've had about two of these movies that I've seen. Now, the last episode of this that we did, you'll remember that, hopefully if you listened to it, you'll remember that when we talked about Penny Lane Was Dead and Someone's Daughter, I just found the theme running through, which was Men Who Suck, basically.
Like, what is the theme for this one?
So, actually, the theme for this one, this is weird, this has worked out really well for me.
All right.
The theme for this one is actually based on a true story.
Okay.
In both cases.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that's fun. So I will, let's kick things off with, I guess, the more fun one of the two of these, because one of them is genuinely very based on a true story and it's a little bit dark.
Yeah, fair enough. If you want all of the Fantasia coverage, because that's where this is coming from.
Hey-o.
By the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, basically all episodes in the last, God, I don't know, since like
2 weeks, basically.
2 weeks, essentially.
Yeah.
They're basically all Fantasia, or you can also check out on the website at gravetonepod.com. You'll see a Fantasia section.
Yes. It's all there. Arthur built up a whole actual page for it, so it's easy for you to like find it, which is great.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, anyway, I can get started with it a little bit. So, okay, the first one that I'm going to be talking about, which this has been days and days and days since I've seen this film, so I'm happy that I actually get to sit down and record about it because I liked it.
Yeah.
Is Los Vampires. This film is based on, very loosely based, or inspired by, I should say, the fact that, and I don't know if everybody's necessarily aware of this, but in 1930, when Universal Studios was shooting Todd Browning's Dracula, the iconic, you know, first Universal monster film that we're all extremely familiar with at this mm-hmm. point, whether or not you've watched the movie, you know what we're talking about, right? Because it's just one of those. Todd Browning's cast, crew, everybody would be using the set during the day. And around this same time, a lot of what studios would do to save money would be to utilize the same sets and bring in different crews at different times to shoot the film in a different language.
Right.
So that it would be able to be broadcast to a broader audience. That's and they wouldn't
smart.
Do, yeah, that's it. And we didn't have technology like overdubbing and things like that at the time. So
yeah.
You would need an entirely different cast and crew. So people who spoke German, people who spoke French, whatever the case may be, to record a different language version of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they were shooting the original Dracula film, at the same time, they decided, okay, we're going to bring in a Spanish-speaking crew who will be shooting basically the exact same movie. Like, they were expected to use pretty much everything, and they were expected to shoot essentially the same film in a different language. Now, what wound up happening was actually a little bit different, because there are differences between the two productions. So during the day, Todd Browning and his cast and crew, Bela Lugosi, everyone else would be shooting the film, and then at night, the Spanish-speaking crew would come in and would be basically working on theirs. The film was, I need to double check this because I feel like I'm going to get lost in all of my notes. So this film was actually directed by George Melford. He was the person who was running it.
Interesting. Okay.
Well, he was still an American director for Universal, right? Like,
they right,
didn't really
course.
Care if he spoke Spanish as long as the cast did.
Yeah, I guess it's their IP, so they can kind of do whatever.
So. Correct. Mm. So at night, Melford and his cast and crew would come in and shoot the Spanish-speaking version. But one of the things that they would do while they were there would actually be to look at the dailies from what was shot during the day
mm-hmm.
for the English language version. And a lot of people now will argue that the Spanish-speaking version maybe at least technically is kind of superior to the original version.
Like, that's actually crazy.
I know.
I want to watch it now because I haven't seen it.
I know.
To see how good it is or how much movie, better it is, whatever.
This movie made me want to watch it.
Well, that's it.
Yeah. So this entire film, Los Vampires, is based on this event. It follows the night shoot crew of the Spanish-speaking version of Dracula. The film is kind of a little bit different, so I'm not sure if this was like a specific choice or if it had to do with rights or whatnot, but the name of the film is changed in the movie, and like the name of the characters are changed, and the names of the people playing the actors and the director, quote unquote, are changed as well. So the person who's playing the director isn't called George Melford. He has a different name.
Okay, so wait, this movie is the filming of the Spanish version of the movie?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is like fucking Inception shit.
Kind of. And it's also more than that because it also takes on like kind of a different life. Let me just briefly read the synopsis. It tells you exactly that, basically. Okay. It follows the fictionalized account of the making of George Melford's 1931 Spanish Dracula, which at base level is what this film is. The story, so it stars Henry Ian Cusick as Luis de Osorio, who is the person who has been selected to play this version of Dracula. They call him Count Vlad in the movie.
Okay, sure. Close enough.
Yeah. So he's been selected to, play this character, and he comes into the set, and there are certain really odd things that start taking place. First, there is, of course, a sort of rivalry between himself and Thomas Kretschmann plays the character of Kurt Orlov, who is meant to be Bela Lugosi's equivalent,
okay,
essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
They have like a lot of tension, like a lot of back and forth where they're jealous of each other to a degree.
But how do they meet if it's night crew and day crew?
Oh, they cross over a little bit in between.
Okay, sure.
And normally Kurt is watching the dailies, and so they meet in like the dailies room and they're watching
on
the screen, and they have really tense dialogue with each other, and it develops into like a full-blown fucking rivalry between the two of them.
All right.
So that's really tense that's happening. And then at the same time, and again, I'm not going to spoil any of this, at the same time, what they've done in the film, this is written and directed by Craig Mitchell, and what he's done in this is that he's also added an element of kind of supernatural mystery to it happening at the same time.
Okay, sure.
Concurrently with the shoot. The entire film takes place on the quote-unquote set of Dracula and follows the characters. So it follows Luis. Kurt does get involved at some point. It also follows the character of Bianca Segura, who's played by Daniela Cusso, who's wonderful in the movie as well, who is like the Mina equivalent. Mm-hmm. And in the original film, the Spanish version, she would have been played by Lupita Tovar, who I would just like to note, by the way, was an actress with multiple different credits to her name, who only passed away in 2016 at the age of 106.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
That's impressive.
Very much so. I thought that was just like an interesting fun fact. And it does also follow, it also stars Oscar Nunez from The Office, The Office,
who plays
the character of Gaspar Lozano, who is the actor who's playing like the Renfield character as well, who becomes Luis's like helper, and they're kind of solving a mystery to an extent. I won't get into like what it is or what happens, but it's got a lot of like charm to it. There's something really, the visuals in the film are so cool because it's set in the 30s, so all the costumes, the set itself is so fun. The entire film, like I said, takes place in different areas of the set and backstage and stuff, like in the dressing rooms and things like that.
Yeah, so this movie is like recent, right?
It's new.
Okay, that's it. It's
not even had an official premiere yet. Its premiere was at Fantasia.
Okay, yeah, yes. Okay, yeah. Okay.
I know.
Getting my ducks in a row.
Yeah, I know it's confusing because of that, but yes, this is a brand new film. There is thus far no official wider release date. They're expecting to get one, but there's no confirmation yet because it just had its world premiere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
How
would you, what's the order of watching these movies? I know they're not sequels or really related to anything, but like, what is the best way to watch it? Do you watch the original one first, then this one in between, and then you watch the Spanish version of the original one? Or
I think it might be fun to kind of watch the Spanish version first and then watch this as like something totally fictionalized, because it's inspired by this shoot, but obviously there was no supernatural mystery happening on the set of either Dracula, unfortunately.
And then you watch the original one.
I mean, I guess so, yeah. I mean, I feel like you could watch the original and the Spanish version sort of back to back, and then you could probably watch this afterward.
That's it. That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, you could probably do something like that. Hmm. This film almost plays out as like a stage play, I find, because it's really like kind of in one location. It would be sure. easy to sort of switch sets. You could very easily make this into a stage play, which works for me. Might not work for everybody. And I will say there are maybe some parts that could have been shaved down to a degree, as the film's long enough for it to start to repeat its ideas a little bit too frequently in the narrative, if that makes sense. So there were bits like that were like maybe a little bit long-winded that could have been cut down, and also maybe in that way it does kind of start to feel like a stage play also. Mm-hmm. But it's got so much like clever sort of like wordplay between the characters in it. I thought the cast was phenomenal. Henry Ian Cusick is fantastic. If people don't kind of know who he is by name, he's an actor who's been working particularly in television for a very long time. He's actually a Peruvian Scottish actor. He was born in Peru, but he has dual citizenship in Scotland because I believe he attended school there.
Yeah.
He's one of these like very, he suits the character and the time period so well because he's quite handsome. He's very like debonair, very well spoken. And so he just really fits with a character like this.
Very debonair.
Yes, you're
welcome. You're going to make me pull out a fucking dictionary?
If you don't remember that, I think it's just because you're tired. But for folks who maybe are like, who the hell is Henry Ian Cusick? I think people might know him from Lost. He starred in 77 episodes of Lost as the character of Desmond Hume, and then went on to star in The 100 as Marcus Kane for 81 episodes. So I think that a lot of people will probably know him from that.
I know what you're talking about.
If I show you a picture, you might recognize him, possibly. It's got a lot of really fun stuff to it. And I loved that it totally went in a direction I wasn't expecting it to. I think I was expecting it to be like a very straightforward, this is just a fictionalized version of what happened during this shoot, but they really take it to like a funky place.
What was the supernatural thing of it?
I'm not telling you. It's spoiler free.
Okay. Well, is it a creature? Is it like a haunting?
I'm not doing this. Oh,
for fuck's sake.
No, I'm not doing this.
Well, I want to know now.
Well, I'll tell you outside of this, but I'm not going to spoil it for people who are listening. You're welcome, everyone. Don't listen to him with his fucking spoilers. He's a pain.
I just want
to
know.
Yeah, exactly. So shush.
I'll tell you later. People want to know.
No, you want to know. So I will tell you later. Anyway, so that was my first one. That was Los Vampires. I'm hoping that it does get a wider release. I think it's like a really fun film, and I think it would really benefit from something, at least people being able to see it a bit more. Should I do digs? I feel like I should do a dig. Should I do digs? Yeah, I think I'm pretty high up there. Like I said, it's got some pacing stuff in it and some long-windedness to it, but I think I'm sitting at like an 8.
Damn.
It was so fun. The cast was so good. There are some like pretty great effects in it, and I just loved everything to do with the time period and the set and just everything. I really felt like immersed in what was going on, and mm-hmm. it was super fun.
I liked that's it. Pretty cool.
Also, the use of language is super fun because they hip-hop back and forth between English and Spanish throughout the entire film, which is
right,
cool.
Right, right, right.
Okay. I love that.
Fun.
And it feels very organic, which I think was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my first one. Second one is definitely less on the fun side, though I will say it does have some properly comedic moments throughout the course
that
of it.
Is weird.
Yes.
Because I know which one it is. We spoke about it, but like.
Yeah. So it is The Leader. This was actually the Canadian premiere that happened at Fantasia. I think it premiered in Tribeca back in June, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that far.
Yeah. Sort of biographical film about the Heaven's Gate cult. Who are basically responsible for one of the largest mass suicides in American history. There were 39 people back in 1997 in Santa Cruz who died by suicide of their own volition, essentially in order to ascend to the next level, basically was the point of it.
Right.
Yeah. So the film's got a fucking great cast in it. It's written and directed by Michael Gallagher, who I think this is one of his first like larger scale projects, because looking through his IMDb, he's worked on several different shorts and stuff with Shane Dawson and Logan Paul, and I just don't know how to feel about that.
Okay.
So that's a weird one.
Sure. Hey, whatever, man.
Which is a choice. But anyway, that's kind of that. So this seems to be his first foray into something else, and he did actually, he was at the premiere, and I did.
Cool.
Yeah, and he did come and speak to the effect that he grew up in San Diego, which was very close to Rancho Santa Cruz, and he was a kid when this happened, mm-hmm. and was like very affected by it for a very long time. And so doing this is a bit of a catharsis for him to explore kind of what he experienced in like learning about all of this at a pretty young age, because he's only a year older than you and I.
Damn, that's pretty crazy.
So let me read the quick synopsis briefly. In 1997, 39 members of the American cult known as Heaven's Gate committed the largest mass suicide to ever take place on American soil. This is their story. And that's basically, at base level, that's pretty much what it is. I think for a film like this...
I mean, you said it's almost like a docuseries type of thing. Not a series, but like almost a documentary.
I mean, no, not really. But like, we don't know what all the conversations were that happened. Although I do believe that they probably took pains to recreate some archival footage and things utilizing the actors playing these actual people who existed. So I do think that probably maybe leans into it a little bit. But the rest of it is like a dramatization.
I see. Okay. Essentially. Okay, fine.
What really... I mean, the film is quite well written. Yeah,
who's the rest of the cast? You said there's a cool cast.
Yeah, that's it. So the film's quite well written and everything, but I think what really carries it are the cast and the performances.
Right.
So Marshall Applewhite, who was the head of Heaven's Gate, is played by Tim Blake Nelson, who I think a lot of people will probably know from stuff like Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? From that one. And like, he's been in a ton of different stuff. If I started getting into it, I think I'd never stop. Like, he was in Minority Report.
Minority Report.
Syriana. Ballad of Buster Scruggs. He's just been in like a ton of different stuff. If you saw a picture, you'd probably be like, oh, this guy.
It's always like that. I need to see the face.
Pretty much, yeah. So he plays Marshall Applewhite, and his counterpart essentially in the cult, her name was Bonnie Nettles. She's played by Vera Farmiga. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, she was also at the screening.
She was there. You saw her.
I did.
That's
she
so
walked
fucking
right
awesome.
By me.
Yeah.
She's so pretty. She walked right by me. She seemed lovely. So she plays the character of Bonnie Nettles, who was Marshall's counterpart and was a large part of the reason I think that Heaven's Gate wound up really kind of going as far as it did, because she was pretty instrumental in like drawing a lot of people in and keeping things in order. That seemed to be something that Bonnie did a lot. And then we do have like multiple other folks in the cast. So Jim Parsons, plays a man named Warren, who's one of the followers. He gives an incredible performance in this film. He is so good.
I don't know why I'm like surprised that to hear that he's in this.
I know.
I don't know why. It just seems like not something that
it
he would
honestly,
pick. You know what I mean?
I guess so. But it honestly, he's done a lot of stuff since Big Bang Theory that I think people haven't necessarily paid attention to. But he's phenomenal in this. I thought he was so good. There are a few other people as well who do make like slightly, you know, like actors that you recognize, but you don't necessarily know their names. If
sure.
that makes sense.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Happens
so there were
time.
Like a couple of other people too who I recognized that I was like, oh yes, this person. So I'd have to like look into it a bit more, but they do play other followers essentially. And the film basically chronicles pretty much the full, it's a little easier to spoil something like this because this all actually happened, but the film does chronicle mostly, I would say, Bonnie's perspective going from, she was a nurse, and from going from a dissatisfied wife, mother, and working woman to basically being the one of the leaders of one of these like really intense suicide cults, which is really crazy to
That's
think of.
That's a crazy 180, but all right.
It sure is. Like I mentioned, the performances in this film, I think across the board, are just phenomenal. Genuinely, it's really well paced, and the tone I think works incredibly well. Mm-hmm. There are moments of genuine levity, partially because of the absurdity of the things that the people believed and what they were saying. To an extent, you don't necessarily want to laugh at them, but you kind of can't help but to do so a little bit. But it's juxtaposed quite brilliantly with a moment almost immediately after that makes you uncomfortable, because it almost felt as though a lot of these folks were being put through kind of a humiliation ritual of sorts. Like, it was really upsetting.
That's how it works, right?
Yeah.
Like, we've watched a couple of documentaries of how these things get formed, and like, you have to break down the person to then build them up, and that's exactly what it sounds like.
Well, cults are something that I find fascinating just because of like figuring out like who these people are, especially like the leaders of them, how they manage to do this, form these groups of people and like draw these people in and find somehow be able to pick out these very vulnerable people who are susceptible to kind of going along with the absurdity most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there are moments like that that are juxtaposed, particularly towards the end of the film, because we do kind of get a look at, like, where they ended.
Sure.
And everything, and as opposed to where they started.
Is there, like, an after thing of what happened after, like a post-coverage?
Not too much, really. We get, like, a couple of scenes, because there were a few folks who did leave along the way.
Oh, sure,
who did
okay.
not participate, thank God, in the end of everything. Mm-hmm. So we do get little bits here and there from people. Unfortunately, though, you know, as was the case, I'm sure, for a lot of the people who did either get away from it or were affected by it in some capacity, it's kind of unsatisfying to a degree, because, like, this happened and it was horrible, you know? There are certain things, like with Bonnie Nettles' daughter, who always wanted to see her mother again after she basically abandoned her family,
right,
to go and join Heaven's Gate, who, like, never got full closure. Like, it's sad. And there are a lot of, like, sad moments that, but like I said, that's it. I don't know. It worked really well. There was never a moment where I was, like, bored or taken out of it or didn't feel that this was really happening. And that's including with, like, recognizable faces in it.
Right.
As well. So, yeah, I just thought it was, honestly, it was pretty phenomenal. I won't go out and be like, it's like a horror movie, but it is kind of real life horror to an extent.
I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It actually happened. Read up on it. It's, like, pretty fucked up.
It is, you know, and there were a lot of really, like, pretty scary beliefs within this cult and, like, what they preached, and a couple of people who I believe that this was actually true did a couple of very particular things, because there was a lot of repression of sexual desires within the cult. Like, you shouldn't have sex, you shouldn't want to, blah blah blah, because it's damaging your quote-unquote vehicle, which is what they would call their body, but then they believed that their spirit would ascend
right
to the next level and stuff. Yeah, anyway, that was kind of, like, the basic idea of it, and that's something that we're kind of given, like, a bit of an insight into. So, yeah, I won't say it's, like, a perfect film from start to finish, because maybe it doesn't really give you any new information particularly.
I mean, it's kind of
right?
hard to get new information
it's
out
hard
of this,
to do
yeah.
That. But, yeah, it was really just excellent, honestly. It was very good. I believe that it is meant to be getting a release, because it's, like, a larger cast and crew and things like that.
Tell
right
us.
So I think it's supposed to be actually doing that.
Let the people know if you don't want to give us the supernatural elements from the other movie.
I'm not, you're very annoying. So yeah, it premiered on June 5th. Ongoing distribution deals apparently are happening right now, so there will be distribution in the US, the UK, and Canada.
Hey, that sounds promising if they're talking about it.
Exactly. Yeah. So that seems to be happening, so I'm sure that we'll see minimum like a limited theatrical release, if not possibly a wider one too, because it's got names that'll draw people to the
Fair
theater
enough.
I get the feeling.
What's the movie again, and what are the digs?
It is called The Leader, so just keep an eye out for that if you're interested in cults and stuff. I think it's a pretty good watch, honestly.
Okay.
And yeah, digs, I don't really have anything all that negative to say about it particularly, so even though it doesn't fall into, like, the regular sort of horror quote-unquote category that we're kind of looking at, I gotta give it, like, a 9. It's
wow.
really good. Yeah, I don't really have anything
that's
bad to say about
high.
It. It's
Damn.
It's really good. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a good endorsement.
Yep. These were a couple of good films, I will say. And so I would recommend, once they do kind of get a bit of a wider rollout, I definitely recommend checking them both out. You get so many different things from both of them. One of them, I will say, is more inspired by true events than based on them. And one of them is a little more solidly on...
Well, that's it.
On, you know, on solid ground. But that said, they're both pretty excellent, honestly, from start to finish.
Okay. Well, so. You convinced me. I want to check it out.
There you go. So we're going to have probably, I think, a couple of, like, mini episodes coming your way, if we can, because
we're
trying to keep up with all of the coverage, and it's hard to kind of get through everything. So I think we'll be dropping some slightly shorter episodes than we normally do. Plus, the majority of films that we are talking about from now on, we don't necessarily have a release date for, so we'll probably be keeping them a little more spoiler free anyway, just to, like, avoid any kind of issues that way for you guys as well, so that you can listen along with us, and hopefully you're enjoying all of the insanity of all of this coverage that we have going on. And believe me, we're not done yet. I think you've got at least another week's worth of regular episodes dropping.
Easily.
Minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are watching The Colony that premiered at South by Southwest.
Yes, we are seeing Colony.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
We are watching Buddy.
Oh, my God. I can't even tell you how
so
much
insane.
We're going to be camped out outside of Buddy to make sure we get into that.
Oh, my God. Seriously. It's, like, going crazy. It's going viral. I don't know what to call it. It was at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane. If you haven't heard of it, check out the trailer.
He's a big
it's just
orange
wild.
Unicorn. He's, like, very marketable.
I know. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty
and
great.
And it's, like, a horror TV show. Imagine Barney Horror.
That's basically Barney Horror. Just think that. It's Barney Horror. It's from the guy who did Too Many Cooks. So if you like that short, you'll probably like this.
It's going to be great. And then we are finishing it off with Freaks Part 2.
Crazy. So we saw Freaks Part 1 whenever it had its premiere. It was 2018 premiere.
Or something like
that. Oh, God. Seriously. It's been a while. Pre-COVID, anyway.
Yes.
And we really enjoyed it. And it turns out they're making a sequel, which is super exciting. And on top of it, it's the closing film of the festival. So I think that's going to be awesome.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. So just get ready for all that, because we got more coming your way. That, on top of a few other episodes too that we're throwing in before we even get there. So keep an eye out for that, guys. But in the meantime, stay scared and stay tuned.
Ciao, guys.